literally, their legs are, their muscles are so spazzed that they can't bend their knees. They can't walk adequately. Episode 565 of Diz Runs Radio is a quick tip episode. Today's quick tip: knowing the signs and symptoms of heat illness. Hey guys, so real quick before we dive into today's quick tip, no official sponsor today, which means that once again, I am able to remind you of something that I offer. I can be my own sponsor for my own show. How about that? What a concept, right? Just a reminder for those of you that have been around for a while, or if you're kind of new to finding the show, maybe you haven't heard me talk about this yet before, but one thing that I offer is kind of one-off consult calls. So, you know, if you're training for something and there's a little roadblock that comes in your way, maybe you got derailed and not sure how to get your training back on track, or there's a little bit of an injury that you're trying to navigate and deal with, or you know, wanted to help maybe plan your race strategy, whatever the case might be. If you wouldn't mind getting some pseudo expert opinion, if you think that I'm an expert enough to value my opinion, we can do that. And there's no long-term commitment. There's no, you know, you don't have to like sign up for a month of coaching to get that. You can just, you know, sign up for one call. We jump on the phone, you know, 20, 30 minutes, whatever it takes to kind of work through your issue, and hopefully get you back on path and have some clear definition of where you're wanting to go. And that's it. And I really love having the opportunity to talk to folks whenever we do these things. You know, it doesn't happen regularly, but every so often I get a little alert that somebody signed up for a call. It's like, oh right, I get to talk to somebody and try to help out a little bit, which is ultimately why I do what I do. So if you're interested in finding out more about that, head over to dizruns.com/consultation. Or you can also get to it from dizruns.com/coaching. There's a link near the bottom of that page. But it'll give you all the details, all the steps you need to take. There's a button right there. You click it, and bada boom, bada bam, you pick a time, you schedule a time. It works with my calendar and yours. And then we jump on the call and try to get you some clarity on whatever it is that you're struggling with. So dizruns.com/consultation. Any questions, just let me know. So today, I want to talk a little bit about heat illness. And it's one of those things that I feel like I talk about at least every year. But I was actually kind of surprised to go back through the archives and find out that it's been pretty much 2 years since I talked about it on the show. So maybe I've talked about it in various emails that I've sent, or in the Facebook group, or wherever. I know I've talked about it with my clients on multiple occasions. But it's one of those messages that I wish I didn't have to talk about. But at the same time, it's important enough that even if you've heard me talk about this before in various places, it might be worth your 10 more minutes or whatever it's going to take to get through this today to listen to what I have to say today. And if you haven't heard a refresh on the signs and symptoms of heat illness lately, please pay attention today, because this is one of those things that, you know, it doesn't matter how fast you are, how slow you are, how far you run, how not far you run. Heat illness is real. And it could be something that could impact you outside of running. You know, it could be because you're working in the yard around the house after your run, or on the weekend, or whatever, or just being out and about walking around. If you're doing some vacationing this summer, some hiking, some things like that, you know, heat illness can strike anywhere, anytime. And it doesn't just have to be when you're someplace that's ridiculously hot and or humid, like Florida, or things like that. It can happen to you anywhere. So one of the reasons that I want to talk about it today, instead of waiting until we get more into quote-unquote summer, is that there's definitely an uptick in cases of heat illness when the weather kind of warms up out of nowhere. So I know some places in the Midwest especially, you know, it's been cold, and all of a sudden this week it has been, you know, like summer hot, which means that your body hasn't had the opportunity to kind of gradually get used to the rise in temperatures. It hasn't been, you know, it's been 40 and then it's been 80, and it hasn't been much in the middle. So, you know, that's kind of a ripe recipe for a heat illness to rear up, because your body hasn't adapted. It hasn't adjusted, because that's what happens. I mean, when you kind of get that gradual increase in heat, your body tends to start adjusting more. It holds on to some more water. It holds on to some more salt, so that you've got the things that your body needs to function in a high heat environment. But when it just kind of comes, you know, like out of nowhere, your body's like, whoa, 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 WTF, dude, what is going on? And you know, your risk of heat illness is higher in those situations. So that's kind of why I wanted to talk about it now, instead of waiting until June or July, when, you know, even for people that are farther north, for the most part, you've probably gotten used to running into heat at that point. So I want to talk about it now. And also, again, want to stress that just because you're not somewhere that it's super hot doesn't mean it's not something that's relevant. And also, you know, don't want you to think for a second that it's not serious. Now, there's different levels of heat illness. We'll talk about each of those and kind of some signs and symptoms at each stage. But it's something that if you ignore it and keep pushing through, maybe the early stages you can get away with that. But when you start getting into the more serious stages, you know, it's really not worth it. The risk-reward ratio is way out of whack when you start talking about literally in you know, the chances of dying or having some very serious permanent issues because of overheating. And, you know, what, finishing a workout or finishing a race? Like, yeah, we want to finish. Yeah, you want to run hard. But come on, it's not worth it in the grand scheme of things. So be smart, be aware, and we'll kind of dive in here and go through things. And the other thing that I do want to stress, and I'll talk about this a bit more next week. This is going to be a two-parter when it comes to the heat illness this week and next week. This week's more focused on the signs and symptoms. Next week will be more on, you know, what to do, kind of treatments and preventions. But just want to stress that it's not all about just drinking more water, and you can do everything right and still have some issues with the heat, which, like I said, we'll get into this a lot more next week. But, you know, just don't think that, oh, I drink plenty of water, so I don't have to worry about it. You still do have to worry about it. You still do have to be aware, because it can still, even when you're doing everything right, and again, there's much more to doing, quote unquote, right than just drinking water. But even if you do everything right, heat illness can still be a thing. I've seen it several times. I've seen it in other people. I've seen it a little bit in myself. So trust me on that one. So getting into the different levels, the varying degrees of heat illness, if you will. Basically, there are three levels, all right, from least severe to most dangerous are heat cramps, heat exhaustion, and heat stroke. So heat cramps is pretty much like it sounds, pretty much like you would suspect. It's kind of when your body starts to cramp up, when you're typically your legs, but it could be other parts of your body as well. But just the muscles just spasm and they don't release. It's painful. It's definitely not fun. But in the grand scheme of things, it's not that serious. It's not, you know, it's minor stage. Your body core temperature hasn't risen too much at that point. Usually, what causes it is some level of because you're sweating, because you're working hard, it throws the salt balance out in your muscles. So and by salt, I don't just mean salt, but I mean sodium, potassium, calcium, things like that, that kind of get out of whack in your system and can cause the muscles to stop functioning appropriately. And that's what causes the cramps. And so you get too dehydrated and the concentrations get too strong. You drink too, you sweat out. If you're a salty sweater, that can cause you problems. Again, we'll get to this more next week, but that's kind of where heat cramps are. There may be some other, you know, but let me back up just a second there. With heat cramps, there's not a lot of forewarning that you're on the cusp of starting to cramp up. You might feel a little tingle in a muscle that doesn't quite feel right. But a lot of times they just start to grab. And once they start grabbing, they don't tend to let go. And one grab leads to another. So one quad might start to grab, and then pretty soon the other one. And now a calf, and then a hamstring. And it's not a whole lot of fun. But like I said, there's not a whole lot of warning usually. So there's not a whole lot to look out for. That you may feel a little something. Like I said, you may feel a little tingle, a little something that doesn't seem right. And if it doesn't kind of go away, that might be a good sign to try to shut things down pretty soon. But for the most part, heat cramps kind of come up. They're kind of the first warning sign that things might be going wrong. Although usually most people aren't going to power through heat cramps. So you start to get that warning sign. You start to get those cramps, you know, happening, grabbing in your legs. You're probably going to shut it down because you might not. I've seen them. Thankfully, I haven't experienced them, but I've seen them in previous days working football training camps where big 300 plus pound offensive linemen literally can't bend their knees because their quads are so locked up that they have to hobble out of a room if they can even walk. Sometimes you gotta get them in a wheelchair or something like that because they literally their legs are their muscles are so spazzed that they can't bend their knees. They can't walk adequately. So, you know, obviously if that starts to happen to you during a run, probably not going to keep powering through. Going to go get some hydration, some fluids, some rest, and those muscles will eventually relax and they'll be sore. But, you know, no long-term issues there. So that's kind of the first level. Definitely the most common. Also, again, the least severe when we start talking about heat illness. Kind of getting into the middle territory, heat exhaustion. A bit more serious, although probably still not in the catastrophic area yet. But in heat exhaustion, you definitely notice that things aren't working right, that things aren't quite the same. You know, a lot of people start to feel like a headache, extra fatigue or weakness, just all of a sudden can't do what normally shouldn't be a big deal. You know, if you start having heat exhaustion, you might be halfway through your run and all of a sudden you feel like you've run a marathon or an ultra or something like that. You just can't pick up your feet. You're just feeling weak, tired, fatigued. You know, you're still sweating pretty good, but you're just shot. That's a pretty good sign that heat exhaustion might be happening. There might be a little bit of confusion, a little bit of mental fog too. You still know what's going on. You still know who you are, where you are, what you're doing, things like that. But you can just kind of tell. And sometimes you can't tell until after the fact when you look back objectively. But if you're paying attention, you can tell that things aren't quite right. And obviously, as you kind of progress through the early stages to later stages of heat exhaustion, those signs and symptoms, those things that you're going to notice kind of get more and more obvious to yourself. You start to get, even more fatigued, even less clarity on what's going on. The head really starts to pound. You start to feel those symptoms. It's time to shut it down. The heat exhaustion can definitely lead to heat stroke, which is the most dangerous and what we'll get into in just a second. But one thing to make clear is that you don't have to have signs and symptoms of heat cramps to get into heat exhaustion. So you can skip that first stage, even though it's the most common probably. It's not something that's guaranteed. You don't have to go through that stage to get to heat cramps. So just because you haven't noticed your body cramping up doesn't mean that, oh, well, because I haven't gone through heat cramps yet, like I'm not into heat exhaustion. Like, no, you could still very well be in the heat exhaustion phase. So be aware of the signs and symptoms. Again, you're still sweating, so you still got lots of sweat going on, but you're feeling a little bit weak, feeling extra fatigue, maybe a headache, definitely noticing that you're struggling much more than probably what you would expect or what you should be at that point. And you may have a little bit of mental fog that's going on too. If you're tracking your heart rate's probably elevated. It's probably gone up quite a bit. So if you get a spike in your heart rate out of kind of nowhere for no reason, you haven't picked up the pace, things like that, and you add that in with some of these other signs and symptoms, pretty strong possibility that you're dealing with a little bit of heat exhaustion. And I've been there. I had a pretty good case of heat exhaustion back in when I ran running with the Bears. I thought I was good. Looking back on it, you know, especially short term, I can see some of the ways that I was definitely struggling, definitely was hurting, which is why I crashed and burned so hard on the last 5 or 6 miles, or at least one of the reasons. I'm going to blame it on that, but it was probably, you know, one of maybe a not quite being as well trained as I'd hoped to be. But definitely something that you know, was a little bit scary. May have been a better choice to not finish the race than to finish it, but I ended up walking basically the last 4 miles to still finish the race and try to stay safe at the same time. Probably not something I would recommend, but since I was quote unquote only in the heat exhaustion phase, it wasn't too dangerous, I don't think, but it definitely wasn't feeling good. No question about that. Then you start getting into the heat stroke range. The high end of heat exhaustion starts to blend into heat stroke. And that's when things are really getting serious. So this is real here. You get into heat stroke area, we got a problem. We got a problem because ultimately what's happening, and when you start getting into heat stroke, your body is probably no longer cooling itself. So if you think about that for a second, you know, one of the big adaptations that we have, or one of the huge traits that we have as humans that very few other mammals have, is the ability to cool ourselves by sweating. By perspiring, having that evaporate, that whole chemical reaction that happens with the sweat on our skin, it helps us cool down. If you're not sweating, you're not cooling. So if you're still trying to force yourself to keep running and you're not cooling yourself and it's hot out, that's a recipe for a serious, potentially fatal situation. You know, you're probably asking for a trip to the ER, and hopefully that's the final stop and you're not moving on to the mortuary after that. So heat stroke is real. Heat stroke is serious. And the signs and symptoms are basically kind of, you know, cranked to 11 of the signs and symptoms of heat exhaustion. So, you know, again, some of that mental fog, that mental uncertainty is ramping up big time. Like you stop to, you know, like I said, with heat exhaustion, you know, there's a little bit of confusion, but you still know the basics, you still know who you are, things like that. If you start to not know kind of where am I? What am I doing? Things like that. Not a good sign. Maybe the most telltale sign is that instead of you being still sweating, like I said, you stop sweating. So now your skin doesn't feel wet. It doesn't feel cool. It's hot. It's dry. That is warning bells. If you're not sweating and it's hot as freaking balls out there, calm it down. Your body is not adapting to the situation that you're in, and you need to shut it down. So if you notice that you're not sweating, no sweat on your skin, hot, dry, time to get off the course, time to stop running. The headaches are going to be worse, weakness, fatigue, just hurting, pulse is going to be way up. Breathing is going to be heavy. There's all kinds of things, but just kind of the next degree after heat exhaustion of those signs and symptoms are heat stroke, and it is dangerous. It is scary. I've thankfully not experienced it myself from being in it, but I've had some athletes that have been pretty close. And again, I mean, it's not something that you want to deal with. It's something that for the most part is preventable. But again, you can do everything right and still have some bouts of heat illness. But when you start to get into the heat stroke range, it's not worth it. It's not worth it to keep training. It's not worth it to keep racing. It's just not worth it. So be aware. Be aware of those types of signs and symptoms. Be aware of what how sharp you are feeling mentally. How much are you still sweating, or are you not sweating anymore? Fatigue, weakness, things like that don't make sense because you're not that far in your workout, or you're not running that hard today, and all of a sudden this is really, really hard and for no good reason. Those are some big cues that maybe you want to back it off for that day. As summer continues to roll around and get here, and the heat, if you're in an area where the heat sticks around, you may need to be more worried about heat illness early than you are late. Now, you don't want to ignore it and just do foolish things later into the summer. But like I said, your body's going to adapt. Your body's going to respond a bit to being in the heat, which I know firsthand, because as I've talked about before, once the weather cools down back again in the fall, which won't happen until December, but once December gets here and it cools down, you see big jumps, big leaps in progress, because all of a sudden your body doesn't have to worry, or my body doesn't have to fight the heat anymore. So you're going to notice some of that as well. You're going to notice maybe an increase or a decrease in performance, struggling a little bit more, not having the pep in your step that you're used to. It's okay. That's normal. One last thing to mention today before we shut it down in this moderately not so short quick tip. Make sure if you're running with other people, if you've got friends that you run with, make sure you're watching out for them as well. Make sure that some of the signs and symptoms that you would notice in yourself, you may not be privy to noticing in the others, like the mental fog, really feeling weak and fatigued and things like that, starting to have a headache brew. You're not going to notice those things in other people. But what you can notice is changes in behavior. So if somebody who's normally the chatty Cathy on your run isn't talking, or started out talking and has kind of stopped in the last half an hour, they haven't said a word, maybe something's not right. If somebody who's normally a pretty strong runner, or just everybody kind of normally hangs out in the group, and somebody can't keep up, maybe there's some fatigue. Maybe they're overheating. Maybe there's a problem there. If there's all of a sudden slurring their words or not making sense, that's some of that. Maybe the brain fog is in play. So just pay attention to the people that are around you. Pay attention to your friends. I mean, they are your friends, right? If you're running with these people every week, every day in some cases, they're probably your friends. So watch out for them. Be aware of what's going on. If they're staggering a little bit or having a hard time running straight for no good reason, maybe that's something that's not right. Something's off. Now, if one thing is randomly off, that could just be a bad day, or could be nothing. But if you notice the same person is having multiple of these instances where things aren't quote unquote right, it's probably a good call to maybe be that friend that says, hey, let's shut it down a little bit early today. I'm not feeling it. Maybe take the burden on yourself. I'm not feeling very good. I'm going to head back to the car. Would you come with me? Would you take me back, run with me so that, we're good. And I'll buy you a bottle of water when we get to the car. Something like that to help people be safe, help protect your friends from themselves sometimes. Cause I know for me, and I'm going to assume maybe for you as well, you can get in these situations where, you're like, yeah, I'll be fine. I just got to push through. And that's where a more reasoned, outsider, a more reasoned, somebody who's actually observing, aware, paying attention, and loves you and cares for you can help you. So be that to someone else and hope that one of your friends will be that for you as well. So if you have questions about kind of the signs and symptoms of heat illness, let me know. There's a couple of really good graphics that I found and posted in the show notes today. So there is still a couple of memes and GIFs and things like that, but there's also a couple of serious images in the show notes today. Dizruns.com/565 will take you over there. You can check him out. He's got all the signs and symptoms, things like that, that are right there. How to hopefully protect yourself, prevent yourself from getting in a dangerous situation this summer as it relates to heat illness. And like I said, next week we'll talk more about heat illness and looking at the ways to treat it. If you find yourself, you know, in one of these situations, spoiler alert, best thing to do, stop running. You know, it's kind of one of those, if you find yourself in a hole, the best way to get out of it is to stop digging. You know, if you find yourself battling some heat issues, the best way to solve it as quickly as possible is to stop running, because all you're doing is generating more heat. So stop running, stop generating more heat, and then we'll take the next step. And we'll also look at maybe the more important, maybe not more important, but the way to be proactive, the way to help prevent ever being in that situation at all to begin with. So that's next week. But for this week, dizruns.com/565, signs and symptoms of heat illness. Be aware of them. Be aware when something's not right. And always, when it comes to the heat, when it comes to a lot of things, but always when it comes to the heat, err on the side of caution. So that's it for today, guys. Thank you so much for listening. Really appreciate it. Don't forget, dizruns.com/consultation. If you want to jump on the phone, chat a little bit, help you work through an issue, happy to do it. Love doing it. Let me know any questions, concerns about anything. At DizRuns on the Twitter, DizRuns@gmail.com in the email. And again, DizRuns.com/565 for today's episode of the show. Show notes, graphics, information about signs and symptoms of heat illness. That's it for today. Cross the 20-minute mark again. Gosh, you just put this microphone in front of me and I can't stop talking. It's a character flaw, I guess. After 500 and something episodes, I've feel like a natural now. And I just can't stop yapping. But we'll go ahead and shut things down for today. Thank you all for listening. Appreciate your time and attention, and hope that this helps. Hope this was a good reminder for you. But seriously, do me a favor, please. Be safe this summer. Be safe in the heat. Be safe running in the humidity, or if you're in a dry climate, that can be dangerous too, because you don't realize how much you're sweating, how much water maybe you lose. Be safe this summer. Be safe. That's it. Thanks for listening, guys. Take care. Talk soon.
See you.